Come on in, everybody. Have a seat. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. It's wonderful. We've got Ethan Hudson playing the piano with us today. He's joining us, and that's a blessing for us all. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Father God, I thank you and I praise you for the blue sky. I thank you for the breath that we all have, Lord Jesus. I thank you for protecting us all as we travel these crazy roads of Florida, Manatee County, Lord Jesus. I thank you for that, Lord God. We just pray for those that are still traveling. Lord Jesus, we do pray that there would be peace in this home right now, Lord God. This home fellowship, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you, we praise you. It is our desire to enter your gates with thanksgiving in our hearts and into your courts with praise. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here this morning. You are welcome here this morning. We are nothing without you. Father God, I pray that your Spirit would flow through us. Lord God, I pray that we would be catalysts to your Holy Spirit flowing through us, Lord Jesus. We pray against anything that would try to block and hinder that right now, Lord God. I pray that we can have focus of mind, focus on you, Lord Jesus. I thank you and I praise you for each soul that is here right now. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God.
But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. While we are still a long way off, God's arms are right there open for us, and he is running after us. That he demonstrated that by dying on the cross for our sins, that way we could be saved and come to him and know eternal life. How beautiful is that? So while we're singing the chorus of the song, come to the altar because the Father's arms are open wide. They are. And even though you feel like there's so much debris on the road headed to him, he's still there and he's still chasing after you. He's still coming after you. So let's sing that chorus again. Oh, come to the altar. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
To the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, soul. I live for
What does that mean? What does that mean? Have your way with me. Lord God, make it real. Make it real to our hearts, to our minds, to understand what are these words that we're singing. Have your way? Really? That's scary. Lord, that is scary. But Lord God, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Purifying our minds. Oh, God. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Pray that you open our minds to understand the scriptures. Value that we have to you, that we are your children, and we are not our own, because we were bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, a price which is beyond measure.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord God, we pray that you would give us ears to hear.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
And Lord, soften our hearts. So that your word, when it comes in, has a soft and wonderful place to grow. So that it does not return void.
Thank you, Jesus.
But grows and grows. And brings forth a yield of 30, 60, and 100%.
Thank you, Jesus.
May we realize that we have no strength at all in ourselves, but all power, glory, honor goes to you.
Jesus.
For you are the one that raised Christ from the dead,
Jesus.
Not me,
Jesus.
Not
Jesus.
Us. It is your power in us,
Jesus.
Not our power. We have no power. Father, I pray that each one of us here be so desperate for you that we get off of our butts and get on to our knees.
Jesus.
And we come to you realizing that we need you so desperately.
Jesus.
Because even though we don't realize it and don't know it, but we count on you for every breath that we take. You hold every fiber of our being together because that's who Jesus Christ is in us. He holds the entire universe together. And without him, we would fly apart out of total control. Oh, Lord Jesus. Whatever the trials and the tribulations and the difficulties and the things that we think can't be fixed, no matter what we think, that doesn't matter. Because you are the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through you. I pray, Lord, that you would humble us to such a point that we realize that. And that you would break our pride. And that you would bring us to our knees. And that we would repent from our sinful, prideful ways. And turn to you, realizing that you love us more than we could possibly imagine. And we know that because you allowed your only begotten Son to hang on a cross and die for us before we even knew you. You love us that much. And Lord Jesus, I cannot imagine that kind of obedience. To say to your Father, Lord, God, there is no one but me that can pay the price. But I am willing to go and do your bidding so that we can have relationship with the children that you created. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you had the power, the resurrection power, to bring him back to life so that we could be made right with you. May we just be humble in that knowledge. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are and for what you've done. Soften our hearts to receive that message today. And it is your name, Christ Jesus, that we pray.
Thank you, Lord, for just opening, just paving the way for your Holy Spirit, Lord God, just to speak to your people, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for just this time of worship, Lord God, that just being allowed to open the door just for your Holy Spirit to move and to work in your people, Lord God. Thank you for, Lord, I just feel like flinging the doors open, that you did that in some hearts even today. Lord God, that you were working, Lord, supernaturally speaking, Lord. That's what you do. You are a communicating God to us, Lord. And you are speaking to people even here today, right now, Lord. Thank you for even the prayers, Lord God, with Natalie and with Mark, Lord God, just being led by your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Thank you for all those things, Lord, as people are singing and crying out to you, Lord God. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the rejoicing. Thank you for the tears, Lord God. Thank you for hearts being made ready to hear what your Holy Spirit has to say, Lord God. And so we do pray in Jesus' name, Lord God, that you would pave the way, even for what we're going to talk about today, which is God speaking to us. And so, Lord, as we're talking about serving you and how we do that and how we hear your voice, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would speak, Lord God. And so whatever is prepared, if it's you want to change it or alter it, Lord, I think that scripture verse in my mind that you're already given me in a certain area, Lord, at that point, Lord, I just ask that you would speak to your people, Lord God. That's why we're here, Lord God. And for those of us who aren't here for that yet, Lord, I pray that you would make us ready to hear from you expectantly, Lord. And I ask this, Lord, that you give us ears to hear and eyes to see what your Spirit has to say to us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord, guys. That was just an absolutely wonderful time of worship and prayer. And I just love when the Holy Spirit does stuff like that. That's so cool. And it's so exciting. And so we're not going to go through a lot of announcements today because we got a lot of stuff to go through. So I'm just going to try to remember the super importante stuff. Tuesday is our men's Bible study, and we're going through the book of Ecclesiastes. And so we just like to invite the men to come out. And so we're going to have food, dinner at 6 p.m. and Bible study at 7. On Wednesday, we're going to be having youth group, the Transformers youth group. And I know last week, I can't remember now, my brain's all focused on what we're going to talk about. But we went to go see the Samson movie, about 20 of us, and it was just a great time. And so this week we're meeting back here again, and that will be here at the church at 6:30 to 8:30, and we would love to have you come out. They just somebody was sharing a testimony this last week. Oh, that's right, we were here this week because I remember they were actually in the building when the plane hit it at 9/11. And was sharing the testimony and how incredible that was. And so that's going to be for the teens on Wednesday. And then Thursday we have barbecue and Bible study, dinner at 6, and then Bible study at 7 p.m. And I think that's the main things that I have to talk about. And the rest can probably just wait. Okay, is there anything else?
We have new calendars back here for March, so if anybody wants the times.
Okay.
Because sometimes it's hard to keep it
yes.
in order and straight, which is happening each week. So
okay.
The calendars great. Are back there.
Okay, so there's some new calendars back there. Okay, great. All right, well, there is some things that we're going to talk about. And the first thing before we get started, that what we're teaching on is going to be in the book of Samuel. And it's about God speaking to us. And but before we do that, I want to talk and about Gary. And speaking of God speaking... originally, when we just started this in a tiny little home church with a couple people, I think there was four people. I think Carrie, I don't know, Carrie somewhere, but just how God did that. And we started just a little leadership team. We didn't have any idea what we're doing. We still don't. But now we've been in this building for 4 years. And so we're moving on. We want to start ordaining some folks in the body. And so we asked a few people to pray about things and to pray if God's calling them. So we've been talking about this for a long time. We've talked with Gary about, I think, the call that's on his life. And so I've watched Gary for many years be very faithful as I've seen him. And so we're going to... be ordaining him shortly as a deacon and then eventually as a pastor. And so he has answered God's call. He's prayed and he's the whole way through. He's just said, yes, God has called me to this. And of course, there's lots of fears that go with that. There's lots of attack. And I want to just tell you right off the bat that, you know, every time, whenever you do ministry and whenever you're doing ministry, the more you amp it up, the more give yourself over to ministry, the more you're attacked. Isn't that right, Sue? I mean, the more you give it. So I'm going to ask you right now just to pray for him as he's just feels like he's answering the Lord's call for ministry. And so please pray for him. Gary and I were at a place we were meeting with somebody. And sometimes when you're in, you know, that leadership role, things can get a little crazy. So we were meeting with somebody and they were just lambasting us and this and that and just all this, you know, sort of terrible, terrible, terrible stuff. And Gary handled himself. Usually most of it was against me, so that was good for Gary. But, you know, some of it was against Gary and he handled himself so well, you know, oh, you're just a yes man. And, you know, Gary's a God man. And I mean, when I say God, man, just to make sure everybody knows what I'm talking about, I mean that his desire is to glorify the Lord first. And he handled himself just really super well in that meeting. But after the meeting, we were talking on the phone. He's like, you know, I've been in ministering for years. And I've been, you know, he said, honestly, I've been attacked. I've been rebuked. I've been corrected. But I've never been through anything like that. And I was like, Gary, that's pretty much standard operating procedure. I don't know why it is, but that this is just how it is. So please be in prayer for him as we ordain him as a deacon. I want to read to you, if you could. If you have a Bible, would you please turn real quickly? I'm taking a little bit of our teaching time from 1 Timothy chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand, and kind-hearted Chris will get you a Bible. Chantel, can you hit those lights just for a second for me? Yeah, just for a minute. Thanks. So we're asking you to pray for him. And us. And we realize some folks like that decision. Some folks may not like that decision. But you know what? We're here to please the Lord. And we want to do what he likes. And so it says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, it starts off in verse 1, here is a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer or shepherd, he desires a noble task, and he does. And so I'm going to jump down because we're going to first ordain him as a deacon, then later as a pastor. It says, if we jump down to verse 8, deacons likewise, and it goes through the qualities of an overseer. It starts off, it says, deacons likewise are to be men worthy of respect. And what that means basically is they need to be men of character. You know what I mean? Not hypocritical, that what they say and what they do match. Their life matches what they're preaching or what they're teaching. And that's what Gary is. He's a man of character. So they need to be worthy of respect, it says in verse 8. It says it also says that they must be sincere. And that just means, you know, without wax. It means not double-tongued. It means not, you know, saying one thing here and trashing somebody else over here. It means they must be sincere. It says they must not be indulging in much wine. Gary, I don't know if he's here somewhere, right? Is he? Yeah. You're not indulging in much wine, are you? Okay, good. Okay, so maybe lots of barbecue, but not much wine. It said not pursuing dishonest gain. In other words, they're not in ministry for the money. You know what? And we laugh at that here at this church. But if I could just be blunt honest with you, I've met very, very, very many that are in it for the money. That's their main goal. And you know what? And God bless them, change their hearts, but that's what they're in it for. And it won't be here. That's at least what the Bible says. So not pursuing dishonest gain or trying to rip off people to make money. It says they must keep hold of deep truths of faith with a clear conscience. And they must first be tested. And then if there's anything, excuse me, if there's nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. So, you know, when it says that let them first be tested, you know, Gary has proven himself faithful. He's led the men's group now ever since we started. So, you know, it's like 3-4 years now, you know, going through serving faithfully. He's been serving with Holy Smoke. He's been doing tithes. He's been doing prayer ministry. You know, on Sundays, he does counseling during the week, just in case you guys don't know, and prayer counseling. He's been incredibly faithful with that. He does it with the right heart, you know. He brings the word, but he doesn't bring it with a mallet. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Like, he doesn't like, kaboosh. He brings the word in, and he's been incredibly faithful. You know, even just to teach, I don't know if you guys know this, you know, but you know, even just when Gary teaches, like on a Thursday at the barbecue and Bible study, or when he teaches on a Tuesday for the men's study, he puts in about 10, 15 hours of study time just to do each of those teachings. So if he teaches twice that week, besides his job and his marriage and his life and all that, that's at least 30 hours that he's trying to study. And the Bible says, you know, make sure I got this thing on. Thank you, George. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, to study, to show thyself approved, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. And we're living in times when people sincerely love the Lord, but they don't know what the word says. And so that's why he studies so hard. He seeks, he prays. You know, I do the same thing. this, you know, 15, 20 hours at least, you know, you're thinking, really? Yeah, sorry, that's why I come up with the 20 hours. But, you know, Gary's been faithful, and he's been growing. You know, to be honest, for those of you who don't know, I've given him many books to read, volumes, commentaries, you know, just, I've had him listen to teachings. He listens to them every week or every other week through the Bible, different teachings on the Bible, for almost, I don't know, 2-3 years now. About 3 years, I've asked him to do that, and because I want him to grow. Now, was he a man of God before that? Yes. Did he love the Lord and know the Word? Yes. But if he's going to be a shepherd and he's going to be that, I want him to know more. And he was willing to listen. I'll do it. And he's done it faithfully. And so, and he's just taken over more and more leadership positions. So anyway, so here's what we wanted to ask: if there's anyone here who knows a reason why Gary should not be ordained as a deacon. Don't shout it out now, please. I do! Keep your hands down. The line starts right here. No. Just one of two things. If you'd like, you know, if you see something that, you know, talk to Gary or talk to me privately. And if there's something that you think needs to be worked out in his life before we do this and we start ordaining him for these things, deacons first and then eventually pastor, then please tell us. We want to know, and Gary wants to know, because we want to be right before the Lord. And so we just want to put that out to you, and Gary knows that we're doing this, and he's asked for it, and he's open to it. And that should tell you something right now. So, okay, good. Yes, Gary, I'm gonna give you, where's the microphone? You can say whatever you want.
Well, no, you said a lot of nice things in that, but none of it's me. It's only the Lord in that. You know, if it wasn't for him, you don't want to know me, much less hang around me in that. So any good that comes out is all from him.
Amen. I agree. Now, here's one more thing. Now, when we're talking about this and when we're being transparent like this, Gary's not a perfect person. So if Gary has made a mistake and he needs to make it right, or if he said something he shouldn't, realize that he's still just a person like all of us, right? Because I'm a pastor, it doesn't make me higher than thou, like I float around never making mistakes. No, I can make mistakes too. I'll make mistakes. He'll make mistakes. Please know that in advance. We don't want anybody to be hypercritical, but we do, if there's something ungodly we need to address, we want to be open to that. Okay?
Question?
Yes, you can have a question.
Exactly what a deacon is.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you. There is a difference between a deacon and an elder. Or a shepherd or pastor. A deacon, the Greek word is diakonos, and that just means servant. And so it was originally it came up in Acts chapter 6 when the church started growing and folks needed to be set aside. Some folks had to be set aside to do Bible teachings, and because it takes a lot of time to do that, much more than people think. Gary's like, I never knew how much time this takes. I'm like, I know. And so Gary here, so deacon is basically a servant, and they minister more to the needs of the people. And then a pastor or an elder is someone that basically their main functions are more to be teaching and praying. Now, they're separate roles in the church, in leadership, okay? However, everybody who's a deacon might not be necessarily called to be a pastor. However, in our church, I think if you're going to be a pastor and a shepherd of the people, you have to be a servant first. This is not a big podium to get to promote yourself. You know, here's what we're going to do. We're going to teach the word, and we're going to love on people as best we can through our faults, through our foibles. If you come back here, if you left for 5 years, Lord willing, if he hasn't come back, Jesus hasn't come back, you know what we'd be doing right here? We'd be sitting going through the word again, the same stuff, because his word won't return void. And so we're anointing him first. It just means servant. It just foot washer. How can I do to help you? What can I do to help you? Looking for ways to serve the body. And so that's what a deacon would do, a diakonos. And then a pastor would be also the teaching aspect of it, and the leading and the shepherding. Does that explain? Okay, good. So praise the Lord. Yes.
I just want to say, you know, on behalf of Gary, you know, he's been not only a friend to me, to my family, you know, but his loving heart and the time he put into my own life, you know, has been tremendous. And I don't know where I'd be without Gary in the time he's put into my baggage. And we can handle my baggage, we can handle anybody's baggage. You know, so, I mean, for me, I'm definitely happy and blessed to hear Gary and hopefully get in his position to do this because he's done wonders for this church, wonders for the people here, wonders in my life. And I trust him 110% with everything.
Well, it definitely is the Lord. So anyway, we want to make you guys aware of that. Okay, well, let's get into the Word of God if we can. We're now going to go into 1 Samuel chapter 3, 1 to 21. And we're going to talk about God speaking. Now, this is so absolutely critical in our day. You know, and here's... Lord, give me the right words, please, in Jesus' name. What do you want me to do next? I'm sorry, give me 1 second. Just organize it all. Okay, I'm going to show you, if I can. Gary, Chris, can you hit those lights for a second? Now, I don't know if you watch the news. I'm a newsie, so I watch the news. This is an article from the Washington Times. There's been, if you can see the date on here, I mean, we're just talking February 13th, so just a few weeks ago. And before that, there was Amoroso from Trump's staff. Right before that, some few weeks before that, talking about Vice President Mike Pence, who's a born-again Christian. And so this was the headline. It says, this is from Joy Barr mocks Pence's faith, calls his relationship with Christ possible mental illness. And this was what the article said. This was headlines on Fox and everything. It said, Vice President Mike Pence's Christian faith was mocked on ABC's The View on Tuesday as the co-host mulled his relationship with Jesus Christ. And this was from a story like, I don't know, about a month ago. Amorosa, President Trump's disgruntled ex-staffer, used her status as a celebrity Big Brother contestant this week, back then, to insinuate that the vice president suffers from a mental illness. And what she was saying was, hey, you guys who don't like Trump, he's like, let's not try to oust him because Mike Pence is a crazy person. And here's the reason why. The claim was he thinks Jesus tells him things to say and do. She goes on to say, and then she said, scary. And then that served as fodder for jokes by ABC and The View and Joy Barr. And then she ended up saying, it's one thing to talk to Jesus. It's another thing when Jesus talks to you. That's called mental illness, if I'm not correct. Hearing voices, she said. Now, I'm going to say two things, okay? And I'm going to say a few things, actually. The number one thing is, I want everybody to know that I talk to Jesus and I hear from Jesus as a Christian.
I hope so.
Okay? So I'm in that same boat. Now, when I first read it, can I tell you what happened? Ooh, I got all revved up and I got all offended. Oh, how dare. But then, you know what? I started thinking the Lord is so faithful because he speaks to me. He started convicting me in my heart and he said, Darren, you know what? And then a lot of people were. They were up and they were slamming them. But here's, as Chris, you know what? I remember back when I grew up in church, but I didn't really know Jesus. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yep.
Like I was a religious person, you know, trying to get good morals, trying to learn more Bible stuff. But I didn't really give my life over to Jesus. I didn't really give my whole heart. I didn't know this whole thing. I thought you just pray. You know, here's my laundry list, God. And okay, now I'm going to live my life. I didn't know that he wanted to have this personal relationship with me. That he wanted to interact with me, that he wanted to walk with me and talk with me and be with me and form a relationship with this dirtbag, right?
And honestly, that's what we are. Remember, we're made from the dirt of the ground. Remember back in Genesis, okay?
Yep.
So here's the thing. And then I started thinking, you know what, guys? I can actually understand. I didn't get saved till I was almost 30. So I can honestly understand where they're coming from. If somebody told me that they heard Jesus speak to them and tell them things to do and say, I would have kind of thought they were crazy too, because I didn't know any better. And I was like, oh yeah, Lord, you're right. You're so right. So Lord, help me, instead of, you know, getting the pitchforks out and, you know, how about we pray, you know, Lord bless her, open the eyes of her heart. Like someone was praying right here. Open the eyes of her heart, Lord, in Jesus' name. Yes, I see already hands up, so we got microphones.
We're praying.
Oh, praise the Lord.
No, I read somewhere that she claims to be a Christian.
She does, yeah.
And that's, so why don't we pray that she hears from the Lord?
Yes, do that right now. Yeah, Nate or Gary, let's do it. Just pray.
Father God, we do just that, Lord. She claims your name, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
So let her hear your voice so that she knows the true relationship, so she'll understand exactly how much you love her, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do in her life. In the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I love that. So that's the attitude that we need to have. It reminds me of some of these songs. And I picked an old song for some of our more mature believers. And I picked a young song for believers like me. You know, and here's this. You guys remember this song? Now I'm going to, I can't speak words of a song. Like I have to almost sing it. And I'm sorry because I'm not a good singer. So, you know, this is a song called In the Garden. You know, I come to the garden alone. You remember that song?
Yep.
Well, the dew is still on the roses. Voice I hear falling on my ear. The Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other is ever known.
Every Sunday in the Presbyterian Church, we used to say
it's that personal relationship, walking with him, talking with him. That, and if you're not there, this is not to make anyone here feel condemned. Okay? So if you're not there yet, don't feel condemned. Just, I'm here to get you excited. Because I'm saying God has more for you to hear and understand. That should be exciting. That should be cool. Okay, so just ask him, God, I want to hear everything you have to say to me. I want to receive it. Or for those of you guys who are a little bit younger, this is one of my favorite songs. I'll try not to sing this one. But this was by Sherry Youngward, and she sang this song, you know, I can't help it. All the day long she sings sweetly. She says he speaks to her mind. She's only rich with affliction, yet a bitter word you won't find. Then she goes on to say, she often walks alone, but never is she lonely. You can offer her anything. Her affections are all for him only. So here's the thing. That's a relationship with Jesus. That's what he wants. That's the exciting part of being in love with our Savior God. Okay? John 10:3-4 says this. He says, this is in the New Testament. It says, the sheep, this is the words of Jesus, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. That tells me something. That tells me that God wants us to learn to hear his voice. And that tells me too, look at, he calls each sheep by name. Listen, the enemy wants you to make you feel like you're alone, like you're a nobody, that you're a nothing. And Jesus is saying, I'm calling you by name. I know you personally. I made you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now the enemy wants to come and kill and destroy you and destroy that relationship. That's his main goal for you.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, I'm calling you out by name. And he says, I love this. He says, I lead them out. See, that's a good shepherd, right? See, he's not saying, I'm telling them to go out. So it's not like Jesus is sitting up here on, you know, the big platform and saying, this is what I want you to do. And good luck to you. Hit you a little on the sheep butt. Go for it. No, he's saying, I want to lead you. He's not even saying, I'm going to cattle prod you and drive you. He's saying, I want to take you by the hand and I want to lead you. See, that's your God. That's your Savior Jesus. That's how personal and intimate he wants to be with you. That's the relationship. Wow. Yes, Sue Berger. Yeah, can we bring the mic? Thank you, sweetie.
In my experience, one of the things that I realized is that it's a progression, knowing God's voice, that much like a mother with a newborn child, those who are moms, you start speaking to that child the moment it comes. The child has no idea what you're saying. The child is totally clueless. But the mother and then the father, you know, speak words to it on a continuous basis. And as the child grows and hears the words and hears language, they start to understand.
Yes.
And it's a slow process. First, it's just emotion. I love you. You're such a good baby. Oh, aren't you cute?
Yeah.
You know, and then it's, you know, instruction. No, no, no. You know, and then, you know, as the child progresses, he has a more intimate relationship with the parent. I have a different relationship with my 42-year-old daughter than I do with my 2-year-old grandson. You know, I love them both, but the relationship is different because the ability to understand is different.
Yes.
And when we become a Christian, that's why it's so important to read the New Testament. Because what happens is we hear God's voice. We might not be aware of it, but in our spirit, we are hearing God's voice daily, over and over again. And then at some point, we start to recognize it when he speaks into our mind.
Yes.
You know, if we don't read the New Testament, then it's much more difficult to decipher between his voice and all the other voices that are out there, of which, you know, when I first became a Christian, I had a lot of them, you know. And, you know, that's why it's so important to hear God's word and read it on your own, even if it's just 5 minutes a day and you don't understand it.
Yes.
You know, you're still becoming more familiar with God's voice.
Yes.
And that will enable you at some point, you know, to understand what he's saying to you.
Yes. You know, what Sue is saying right there, for those of you who are younger in the Lord, is so, you might not even realize it, it is so powerful. Maybe you're older in the Lord, but this is all really new for you. That is so very powerful, what she is saying right then, and so very true. And sometimes we immediately want that immediate gratification, right? You know? But there's a depth to the Lord's communication, that, and having a feeling is wonderful. I love those, you know what I mean? I love when the Lord gives me such a joy feeling or peace. I love that. But there's such a deeper level to that, right? That's almost like a banana split. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, where's this place? You ever been to the Shake Pit? Oh, they make the best. Anyway, that's a shameless plug there. But they make the best banana splits, okay? And it's delicious and it's wonderful. However, if I ate banana splits for breakfast, lunch, and dinner all the time, I wouldn't get all the nutrients I need. I wouldn't get the, you know, protein. I wouldn't get, I'd end up being kind of, you know. So there's a depth there. And so while they're wonderful, there's so much more that God has for us. So yes, that's a good word. I saw a hand up, go back over here. So would you mind bringing the microphone there?
You know, when we're born again, it's an instantaneous change of heart. And in 1 Corinthians 1:18, it describes exactly what Sue was talking about. And it says, "For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness." So before we're saved, before we're born again, before we know the Lord Jesus Christ, everything is foolishness. The instant we are born again, it says, "But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God." So instantaneously, it changes from foolishness to the power of God. And we need to understand as more mature believers that the baby believers, the ones that are just now being born again, they have no clue what that voice sounds like.
Yeah.
And we need to be encouraging to them,
yes,
and supportive of them,
yes,
and let them know that. And for those like the one that you had up there that was saying it's insanity, well, of course it is to her.
Yeah.
But she doesn't know the Lord.
Right.
And if she knew the Lord, it would be the power of God.
It would be almost, it'd be the norm.
So if anybody says they're a Christian and they says, by the way, if you ever hear from God, you're insane, then you know, well, guess what? You're not a Christian.
Now,
Can I
tell you? Well, I got to be careful with that one. I know your heart intent there. But again, sometimes I've watched people for many years that they do love the Lord, but there are aspects of the Lord, the depths to that, that they haven't plumbed yet. I remember being at a certain church, and no kidding now, this is their elders, their pastors. I was told that because I said that I hear from the Lord, okay, they didn't actually use the word crazy. But they said, anybody who tells me that they're actually hearing from the Lord, well, that makes me think I need to stay away from them. Well, so I say all that just to say, again, there are depths of things like that that we have to plumb and that we have to go to. So let's start off by reading. If I could get a row of volunteers, and I just want to let's read. We'll do it first, and then we're going to go through seven things. I had nine, but I shortened it to seven. But since I obviously know we're not going to get through them all now, but it's been good stuff, so I don't take it. So there's either seven or nine things that we're going to learn from this passage to help us to hear from the Lord better. Okay? So stuff that you can take home with you. All right? But let's just read it through first. Who doesn't mind reading? Okay, we have a couple back there. Why don't we start back there? Okay, we'll start off with the back row. Joe, we'll start off with you, and then Hezekiah, Sue, Neely, Wendy, Joe, going all the way to the back of the church. So just read maybe two or three verses of 1 Samuel chapter 3, 1 to 21. Read a couple of verses. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 21. What, Joe?
Just like two or three verses.
Yeah, just two or three verses, and then hand it to the next person and just pass the microphone until we get down to verse 21. And we'll all read it together. Okay, Joe?
Yep.
You're the man.
Now the young man Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was.
Then the Lord said to Samuel, Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down.
The Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy, and Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you shall say, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place.
And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel, at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle.
Good. And if you don't want to read, you don't have to, just pass it on to the next person.
At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family, from beginning to end, for I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sins made themselves contemptible.
His sons, yeah.
His sons, sorry. And he failed to restrain them. Therefore I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering.
Good. Verse 15.
Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, Samuel, my son. Samuel answered, Here I am.
What was it he said to you? Eli asked. Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you. Be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you. So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes.
Last few verses, 19 to 21. Excellent job, you guys.
The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground.
And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was confirmed as the prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord.
So the Lord wants us to learn to hear his voice. Now we're going to, before we even go through, I'm going to go through the scriptures and point out the seven things or the nine things. Again, we'll break this up into two parts. The Lord speaks to us in many, many different ways. The Lord speaks to us through the Bible, through prayer, through circumstances, through others, through the church, directly to our hearts. And he does this so that we would come to know who he is, to reveal himself, to reveal his purposes, and to reveal his ways. Okay, so the primary way the Lord speaks to us, though, is through his word. Mm-hmm. It's through his written revelation. Okay, and here's what the word says. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 says this: All scripture is inspired by God. Right here. All of it. Not some of it. All of it. Not the parts that you just like or the parts that you don't like. You want to cherry pick what you want and what you don't want. You have to take God's word, what it says, all of it. It's all inspired by God, or some of your translations will say God breathed or God inspired. It's all the same thing. And here's the neat thing about what God's word's used for, this inspired word of God. It's useful to teach, right? It's useful to teach us. We have to learn what it says, right? There's lots of folks out there that are hearing. There's different voices that are trying to speak to you, okay? Let's just be honest, okay? There's different voices. You've got voices in your head. You've got voices. You've got voices in your head. You've got voices in your head. Maybe things people have said to you. You're a this. You're a that. You can't do that. You know what I'm saying, right? Or you've got your own flesh in you that says, oh, you don't need the Lord. You could do it on you. You have your own flesh that's speaking stuff to you in your own mind, right? Okay? but you also have the Lord, and he's trying to call you, and he's trying to bring you a certain direction, and you have the enemy in the world. He is always working on unbelievers and in believers' minds, whispering things to them, get them off track. Always starts with pride and always starts with believing a lie. Pride, believing a lie, condemnation, he's always right there, isn't he? That's why I love the prayer that was up here. You know, the God who just runs to greet his kid that's coming back to him. I just love that. So, and when I say God speaks to, maybe you've experienced some things that are kind of kooky and crazy and wacky, right? Some of us in here have, okay? So, and here's what I guess what I'm saying is, if you've seen some of that kooky, crazy, wacky, and you know it's not of the Lord, okay, don't throw the babe out with the bathwater. Do you know what I'm saying? Don't limit God because you've seen folks do it a bad, bad, bad way, right? Okay, so be open to what the Word says to you. But again, when we talk about this, it's written revelation that's inspired by God. It's useful to teach us because sometimes you'll have sincere Christians that they don't know. They haven't been taught the Word. So they're doing things. Oh, God's telling me this and God's telling me that. And their zeal and their excitement and they're going the wrong way. And you know God's not telling them this and that. Oh, God told me I could just divorce my husband and I could go out with this other guy. And so we're living. No, God's not telling you that because it's contrary to God's Word. See, that's the filter system that's going to tell you, is this the enemy whispering? Is this you trying to get your flesh what you want? Or is this from the Lord? See, that is the grounding blocks. That's the filter that everything will run through. That's why it's so important to have that Word in you, to have that discernment in you. Otherwise, you're going to be, there's other spirits. You're going to be blown by every wind of doctrine because you don't know what it says. And so that's, and I don't say that in a mean way. I say that in an impassioned way. God's Word, it says, is going to give you everything you need. Everything you need for life and godliness. That's what it says. And if you'll seek him through his Word, he's actually going to renew your mind. He's going to change your heart, change your thinking. He's going to do that into a different direction. And when God speaks to you, no matter how he chooses to convey as we go through these different things, it will never, ever be contrary to his Word. So if you have this down, you will not be led astray. Because it even says in the latter days, which we're living, that there will be people flocking to these teachers, mm-hmm. listening to what their itching ears want to hear. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of come to the spot where I don't want to hear what I want to hear. I want to hear what the Lord wants to say. And whatever that is, I want to obey it. And so that's why the Word is so important as we go through the rest of this study. Now, God also speaks through prayer, doesn't he? Right? Okay. So, yes, Chantel.
Doesn't God also give you dreams?
We'll talk about that in a minute. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. Okay, so God also speaks to you and to me through prayer. Now, again, excuse me. I love Andrew Murray, what he said something. He was an old-time preacher many years ago. And he says, prayer is not a monologue, it's a dialogue. God's voice is its most essential part. Listening to God's voice is the secret of the assurance that he will listen to mine. And here's the cool thing. Andrew Murray actually was a minister, signed up to be a minister. He chose it as a profession. But he didn't get saved till much later on. He didn't even realize. He was going through all the motions, going to the teaching, right? As a minister, was not even saved. And he wrote back, I don't know, in his 20s somewhere. And he's like, hey, I've been born again! And then he went on to write 200 books. And one of them on prayer that I would really recommend, I think we have in the Loner Library. It's like that thick, kind of one of those encyclopedias on prayer. So anyway, but that's the most important thing. Whether you're praying in the car or where you're in a conversation, you're asking the Lord something or you're in your prayer closet alone, don't just give him the laundry list. Talk. Listen. I have some wonderful kids, but if all they, and if you guys, if you're a parent, you know this. if your relationship is such to where, like, if my kids just came to me every time they wanted something, okay, Dad, yeah, hey, I would like $20 because I'd like to, oh, I need a new Photoshop app. I need a new cell phone. I'd like a this, I'd like a that, I'd like a this, and I want to talk to you about this and that and the other. I'm really ticked off about this. I need help with this. Okay, bye. Now, I love it that my kids would come to me, right? God says, I want you to make those requests to me, right? Make all sorts of requests. He loves that. But if that's all there was to the relationship with me and my kids, would we be very intimate, do you think? Would we be very close? There'd be a whole dynamic that was missing in our relationship. Now, I'd still love my kid, right? And I'd even help him with some of those things. But we wouldn't be very super close. That's the way it is with prayer. We need to not only speak, but listen. Okay, so God speaks through prayer. Here are some other ways, because we want to know his responses, his directions. God can speak however he chooses. Okay, here's a couple ways. Now, again, nobody freak out. And I took, what I did was there's a whole bunch of illustrations from the Old Testament, but I took from the New Testament most of my illustrations, because I want everybody to understand that God still speaks today. It's not just like, oh, God spoke in the Old Testament, now it's it. So I got stuff from the New Testament. So here's how he can speak. But again, never contrary to his word. Okay, he can speak however he chooses. You know, he could speak through angels, right? How did God communicate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ? How did he do that? Right, he did it to the shepherds, right? Luke chapter 2, 8 to 14. Or remember when Jesus was risen, I can't remember who it was, ran to the grave, right? And what did the angel was sitting there and said, hey, what? Why are you looking for the dead here? Jesus isn't dead, but he's alive. He's risen from the dead. Now that's pretty cool. That's Matthew 28, 5 and 6. Or even Revelation 1, 1. You know, when God is giving the revelation to John, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servant what must take place. He made it known by sending an angel to his servant John, who testifies of everything he saw. And so God sent an angel to John to give him the revelation. Now that's pretty cool. Now God also can speak directly to our hearts. Okay? Acts chapter 8, 29. Do you remember Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch? In Acts chapter 8, 29, and it says the Spirit just told Philip, just spoke to his heart and says, hey, I want you to go near to that chariot and stand near it. Now, if I was Philip, I'd be like, and then what, Lord? But that's usually not how God, here's what God normally does. He gives you the first part. And then you have to ask him what next. Mm-hmm. You see, if he told you everything that was going to go on for your whole day or your whole life, you wouldn't need to talk with him. But he wants you wants that communication. So he's like, okay, I want you to go to that chariot and stay near it. And then, of course, you know what happened. They started reading the word together. He started explaining it. He got saved. He got baptized. Very, very cool. In Acts chapter, I got to look at my notes here. In Acts chapter 10, verse 19, I don't have it up on the screen, but while Peter was thinking about a vision, it said the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart and said, behold, there are three men here looking for you. Okay? So God can speak directly to our hearts. He can also speak to circumstances. In Acts chapter 16, I don't have this on the screen either, but Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 8, Paul was trying to go into a place called Mysia and Bithynia, and the circumstances were just preventing him. And it says, Paul was writing a letter, and he said, the Holy Spirit was stopping us from going into, even though we were trying to get in there through these circumstances, he wouldn't let us in these borders. And so God can speak through our circumstances. He can also speak through a supernatural word of knowledge. Or prophetically. Now I'm going to turn there for this one. This is what the Lord just reminded me of this one. So God can also speak. If you look in the book of Corinthians, it talks about certain gifts of the Holy Spirit. that he will give you, prophecy, word, and knowledge. But I want you to see, if you can open your Bibles, I don't have this up on the screen, it's just a little story, Acts chapter 16, if we can turn there, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, okay? Give me a second to get there myself, if you don't mind. Cool. Okay, we haven't even gotten to the teaching yet. Oh, that's not good. Okay, Acts chapter 16, and give me just a second to find it. Bear with me. My poor Bible falling apart. Hold on a second. I want to make sure my pages didn't get off here. Hold on one second. Pretend you guys talk amongst yourself. Oh, you know what? It's actually, you know what? Go to Acts chapter 13. That's what it is. Acts chapter 13. 13, I'm sorry. Acts chapter 13. And what happened was Paul was out there and he was preaching the word of God, sent that way by the Holy Spirit. And it says in verse 6 of chapter 13, it says, they traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. And there they met a sorcerer, a Jewish sorcerer, and a false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul Sergius Paulus. So this guy is an attendant of the main governor of the area. And it says the proconsul was an intelligent man, and he sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. I like that. Now, verse 8 says, Elymas, the sorcerer. Hey, can I just say one quick thing, really? Whenever you look in the Bible, when it's talking about magic, magicians, we're not talking sleight of hand. Whenever he's talking about mediums, I had somebody call me this week that was getting into astrology and this and that, and he said, I don't even know what I've tapped into, but there is this darkness on me, like I don't even know what's going on. I started really getting into it, like almost becoming obsessed with it, and now there's this darkness on me, and it is not from the Lord, and holy cow. Whenever you hear him talk about mediums or spiritists or sorcerers or witches or witchcraft, it's all tapping in to the evil side, okay? There's a whole teaching that I would like to do on that. But whenever you hear that, there's a demonic element to that. And you need to stay the H-E double hockey sticks away from that. Yes. Because that's where it's from. Okay? So anyway, here we go. It says, but Elymas the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. And then I love this. It's just like the Lord, like a word of knowledge came to Saul. It says, who was called Paul. He said he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just came upon him, gave him this word. And here's what he said. He's not mincing word. He looks straight at Elymas and said, you are a child of the devil. Woo! Hello! That would be a hard word to receive. So he starts off with, filled with the Holy Spirit, you are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything right. You're full of all kind of deceits and trickery. How would he know that? It was the Holy Spirit revealing that to him, right? Giving him that word knowledge. You're full of all kind of trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now here comes the prophetic part. You ready? Now, sometimes a prophecy can be encouraging, sometimes it can be rebuking, correcting, whatever. But here it goes. Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time. You will be unable to see the light of the sun. And then it said, immediately mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. Wow. It also goes on to say, if you remember, he can speak to us out loud if he wants to. Remember when John the Baptist baptized Jesus? Matthew 3:17, it says, a voice from heaven said, everybody heard it. This is my beloved son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Okay? That can happen. God can speak out loud if he wants to. He can speak in dreams. You remember Daniel? He did it to Joseph back in Genesis. And Matthew, he did it with Pontius Pilate's wife in Matthew 27:19. And he also did it with Joseph. Okay, and I think Matthew 1:20-21. Remember when he was saying, "Hey, this is from me." But in Acts 2:17, it says, "In the last days, God said, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams." So he can speak to us from a dream or a vision. Even when it comes to visions, you remember in the New Testament, Acts 18:9-10, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. He said, "Don't be afraid. Keep on speaking. Don't be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack you and harm you, because I have a great many people in this city." That is cool to me. The Lord God is always speaking. The main thing to know and hear is that God does speak. And many times we don't hear him because we're drowning out his voice. Do you know what I'm saying? We're filling our minds and our hearts and our thoughts and our directions with so much stuff that we don't have any room to hear from the Lord. Okay, I'm gonna give you just a quick illustration.
Darren?
Yeah.
You know, the way he starts that out is so cool, and the Lord starts out a lot of things that way. He says, "Do not be afraid."
Yeah.
"Let not your heart be troubled." Wow. When you hear that, you know it's coming from the Lord.
That's right. And so don't be afraid to hear the voice of the Lord in ways that you're not familiar with. Ask him. And then if something does happen, you know, if you're unsure, ask the Lord or ask us or whatever. But, you know, we want to encourage you to do that. The main thing to know is that God does speak. And again, we're not really hearing because we're not really listening for him. It reminds me of an illustration that I shared before, but a Native American and his friend were walking in downtown New York City, and they were walking near Times Square in Manhattan. And if you've ever been there, it is absolutely crazy. Like, I'm not kidding you, I have never been to a place like that. There is so much noise and so many people. And honestly, if you were on just the street corner, you know, I remember this, being in New York, I thought to myself, I could scream, I could just start screaming right now at the top of my lungs. Ah! No one would have even looked at me. They would have just kept walking. They drown it out. And so here, so Native American and his friends were walking down there. It was during the noon lunch hour. And so there's taxi cabs squealing. There's jackhammers, you know, there's horns, you know, honking horns, people talking and yelling and squealing. And, you know, it's almost deafening. And suddenly the Native American says to his friend, he says, "Hey, I hear a cricket." And his friend said, "What?" He said, "You must be crazy. You couldn't possibly hear a cricket with all that noise." And the Native American paused a little bit and said, No, I'm sure of it. I heard a cricket." "That's crazy," said his friend. "There's no way. That is absolutely crazy." And the Native American listened for a few moments, focused and listened, and then he walked across the street, okay, to a big cement planter, where in that little cement planter was a few shrubs, and he moved some branches, and in that shrubbery, sure enough, he showed there was a small cricket. His friend was blown away. He was utterly amazed, and he said, quote, "That's incredible." He said, "You must have like superhuman ears." And his friend said, "No." The Native American said, "My ears are no different than yours. It all depends on what you're listening for." "But it can't be," his friend said. "I could never, never hear a cricket and all that noise." He said, "Yeah, but it's true." He says, "It really depends on what's really important to you." And then with that, he took out, I don't know if it was a roll of quarters or a handful of silver coins. And on that street corner, okay, he just went in the cement, and he took the handful of street corners as he was walking and just went, whoop, and all the coins went ting, 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 ting. He said, and him and his friend watched as every head within a 20-foot radius turned around, to see the tinkling of that little change and went to go grab it. And then his friend, of course, you guys understand, his friend said, "You see what I mean? It all depends on what's important to you." And it reminds me of this little illustration here. I wonder why I don't hear from the shepherd. He's reading, he's got a computer, his cell phone, his radio, the, you know, Bible's on the ground under all this stuff. The shepherd's calling, right? John 10:27 says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." Maybe we're not hearing because we're not really listening. And so here's the question for you and I, and we'll leave here and I'll shut up and we'll do the... I didn't even get to the seven things, or the nine things, whatever. So it's very important that you come and listen if that's the Lord's will. I just pray, God, whoever you want to hear this message today, that they would be here. So here's what we need to think about, a question that we need to ask ourselves. What is most important to you? What is really important to you? Or better yet, who is really important to you? Do you know what I'm saying? You know, what or who do you listen for? You're going to have lots of voices pulling you one way or the other. Many people even now say God doesn't even Christians. Oh, God doesn't speak to us anymore. Well, I reject that completely. But maybe the truth of the matter is that they can't see or hear them simply because they're really not listening for him. And does that mean you might have to sacrifice some stuff or redirect your attention? And I'm saying this to me, okay, so I'm not like bad person. The answer is yes. You know, there are folks, I feel so bad, they come in here and wait, I want to make sure nobody's sleeping right now. If you're sleeping, wake up, because I don't want this anybody to look at you in a bad way. But there are folks that come in here and they sleep every week. Now listen, I'm an exciting guy. If you're falling asleep with, you got to maybe ask the Lord, you know what I'm saying? Just ask him. But here's the simple truth, you know. The truth of the matter is, and Jesus said this in Matthew, but he says, he said, for this people's hearts have become calloused. Do you know what calloused means? Yeah. And you don't want to listen anymore. When it becomes hard, it becomes desensitized, right? So it says, Jesus said, for these people's heart have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. He goes, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. So listen. God is calling you, and he wants you to listen. This is an opportunity to hear his voice, okay? Every Bible study, every time you sit down with him, is an opportunity. You pray and you ask the Lord personally to speak with you. Now, like Sue was saying, if you don't get it happening right off the bat, you know what to do? Keep doing it. Every time you open the word, you sit down, ask, Lord, will you speak to me personally? Every time. And we're going to talk about some of these things. Oh, I wish I could go into it, but I'm not going to because I'm already like 15 minutes over. So we're going to take a minute to pray. But I want you, even next week or when you get home today, when you take your Bible out, I've got a pen right here. I don't know if you can see these marks in my Bible. I'm ready, man. Now, that doesn't mean every time I sit with it, God speaks something to me that I, you know, for me. But I'm ready. Is your pen ready? Is your Bible ready? Is your heart ready? Do you really want to hear what he has to say to you? He loves you. Learn to hear his voice. We'll talk about some ways to do that. Oh, I'm so sorry I didn't get to what I need to get to, but we'll get to that next week, okay? All right. Is there anything else before we close? Actually, I'm just going to close and pray. Father, I just want to say thank you so much, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, Father. And I pray right now, Lord, that you'd almost be like turning on, like in a light switch, Lord, in somebody's mind, in somebody's heart, you'd be shining the light right now, Lord, that you'd be, maybe the expectations are even growing now that we're hearing, wow, okay, you do speak. I can listen to you, and I want to know what your word says. I want to know what your heart is. I want to hear you. I want to communicate. Lord, I just pray that you be turning that light switch on in people's hearts and lives, minds and hearts right now, Lord, that you would help each one of us to revamp and reorganize what needs to be reorganized in our lives, in our time, in our thinking, so that we can hear from our good shepherd, Lord, who's calling to us and speaking to us the mission that he has for us. And so I pray and I ask for your blessing to be upon each person here, that you would open our eyes and open our ears to hear what your spirit has to say, and that you would stir up our expectations for you to speak to us personally, Lord. We love you, and we ask your blessing on this congregation, Lord. The Tuesday Bible study, the Wednesday Bible study, the Thursday Bible study, Lord, that each of those would be blessed, Lord, with an opportunity that you would bring out your people to hear what your spirit has to say, Lord, through your word. We love you and bless you and praise you in Jesus Christ's name, the mighty, awesome, powerful Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. 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 And amen. God bless you guys. God bless you guys. Have a great day in Jesus' name.